Let me ask you something before we get going. Who's flying the airplane? Not who's holding the yoke. Who's responsible? Who's the final word? Because there's a regulation, one short paragraph tucked near the very front of the book that answers that question so completely it will change how you think about every flight you ever make. This is Radio Hangar, I'm Pattern, and this is Traffic Pattern. The show where we try to make you a little bit safer and a little bit better every time you strap in. Today we're doing one from the regulations file, and I promise you this is not the dry one. This is maybe the most important sentence in the whole Federal Aviation Regulations, and most pilots can't quote it. Federal Aviation Regulation 91.3, Responsibility and Authority of the Pilot in Command. Let's walk through this together before we do. Quick shout out to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. It's a great way to mark the milestones that matter, the ones that cost you sweat and money and more than a few bad landings. AviationSoul.com? Go take a look. All right. 91.3. It has three little paragraphs, A, B, and C, and I want to take them one at a time because each one is doing something different, and together they add up to the whole philosophy of how we fly in this country. Paragraph A. Here's the actual language, and it's short. The pilot in command of an aircraft is directly responsible for and is the final authority as to the operation of that aircraft. Read that again in your head. Directly responsible for. Final authority as to. That is enormous. Here's what it means in plain English. When you're the pilot in command, everything that happens on that flight lands on you. Not the controller. Not your instructor sitting in the right seat. Unless you've clearly agreed otherwise. Not the guy who fueled the airplane. Not dispatch. You. Now, a lot of student pilots hear that and they get a little pale. That's a lot of weight. And I'm not going to tell you it isn't, but here's the flip side. And this is the part I wish someone had really hammered into me when I was training. Final authority is a gift. It means nobody outside that cockpit gets to make you do something you believe is unsafe. Nobody. A controller can issue you an instruction. Your passengers can whine about being late. Your boss can be waiting on the ramp, tapping his watch. And the regulation still says you, the pilot in command, are the final authority as to the operation of that aircraft. Let me give you a scenario, because that's how this stuff actually sticks. You're on a night cross country. You're a fresh private pilot. Tower clears you for the option on a runway. And as you turn final, you realize the wind has shifted, and you've got a stiff crosswind gusting right at the edge of what you've ever handled. Tower's busy, there's a jet behind you, everything in your body is telling you to just make it work. Don't be the guy who clogs up the pattern. 91.3, paragraph A, is sitting right there in your back pocket. You are the final authority, you key the mic, and you say, unable, request the other runway, or I need to go around and hold clear to the north. And that controller will make it happen, because they know the rule too. Your certificate does not care whether you were convenient. It cares whether you were safe. Say it with me on your next flight when the pressure comes on. I'm the pilot in command, I decide. Okay, paragraph B, this is the famous one. This is the rule that lets you break the rules. Here's the language. In an in-flight emergency requiring immediate action, the pilot in command may deviate from any rule of this part to the extent required to meet that emergency. Any rule? Let that sink in. Any rule in Part 91, you can bust an altitude, you can enter airspace you're not cleared into, you can exceed a speed, you can fly below the minimum safe altitudes, you can do whatever the emergency requires, to the extent it requires it, and the regulation has your back. Now, I need to be careful and honest here, because this is where pilots get themselves in trouble in both directions. Direction 1? Some pilots are so afraid of breaking a rule that they let a bad situation get worse rather than deviate. That's the trap. If you've got a genuine emergency, the FAA has already told you, in writing, go do what you need to do. Ice is building, and you need to descend into airspace you don't have a clearance for. Descend, declare, fly the airplane first. There is no regulation worth dying to comply with. Direction 2, and this is the one I want you to really hear. Paragraph B is not a hall pass. It says, in an in-flight emergency requiring immediate action. Those words matter. Running a little low on fuel because you didn't plan well is not the same as an engine failure. Wanting to scud run under a low ceiling to get home is not an emergency, it's a decision, and it's usually a bad one. The deviation authority kicks in when the situation is genuinely forcing your hand, not when you'd just prefer to bend a rule. Think of it this way. The rule is there for the moment the plan falls apart through no fault of your own, and safety demands action right now. Engine, fire, structural problem. a passenger having a medical emergency weather that's closed in faster than any forecast said it would, and you need to get down. That's paragraph B territory, and here's the practical takeaway that ties it all together, which brings us to paragraph C. Paragraph C, each pilot in command who deviates from a rule under paragraph B of this section shall, upon the request of the administrator, send a written report of that deviation to the administrator. Upon request. Write that down. You do not automatically owe anybody a report the second you declare an emergency. You owe a written report if the FAA asks for one, and most of the time, for a clean, well-handled emergency, they never will. So let's put the whole picture together, because I think there's a myth out there that needs killing.
The myth goes like this. If I declare an emergency, I'm going to be buried in paperwork. I'll get a violation. They'll take my certificate. And that myth kills people. It makes pilots sit on their hands when they should be speaking up. Here's the truth. When you declare an emergency, that magic word, emergency or the words Mayday, 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 you are not confessing to a crime. You are activating the entire system on your behalf. Controllers start clearing airspace for you. They stop worrying about your altitude and your heading and start asking souls on board and fuel remaining. They will roll the trucks. They will give you any runway you want. And 91.3 is the legal foundation that makes all of that okay. The examiner is looking for exactly this understanding. By the way, when you sit for your check ride and the discussion turns to emergencies, and it will, the designated examiner wants to hear that you know you are the pilot in command, that you understand you have the authority to deviate when safety requires it, and that you won't let some misplaced fear of paperwork stop you from doing the right thing. The airman certification standards, in the risk management sections, want you demonstrating exactly this decision-making, recognizing when you're the final authority and acting on it. Let me give you one more scenario, and this one's real in spirit, the kind of thing that happens somewhere in the system every single week. Pilot's cruising along, and the engine starts running rough, really rough. Partial power loss. There's an airport off to the left, but it's inside Class Charlie airspace and the pilot hasn't called approach yet, doesn't have a clearance, hasn't got the frequency dialed. Old myth pilot hesitates. I can't just fly in there, I'm not cleared. 91.3 pilot does this. Turns toward the airport immediately, keys up on whatever frequency they've got, guard if they have to, 121.5, and says Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. Engine trouble, single engine airplane, 10 miles north, inbound to land, and then they fly the airplane to the runway. The clearance is irrelevant. The airspace is irrelevant. The regulation says deviate to the extent required, and getting a sick airplane onto a runway is exactly what it was written for. Nobody's filling out a report on that one. And if the administrator does ask, that pilot writes a calm, honest paragraph describing what happened, and that's the end of it. So here's what I want you to take with you. 91.3 is three sentences. Responsibility, authority, and the small print about a report only if they ask. Underneath all the legal language, it's telling you something almost warm. It's saying, we trust you. You're the one up there. We can't see what you see or feel what you feel. So when it counts, you decide. And we will back your play as long as you were acting to keep people safe. That trust is the whole deal. It's the thing that separates flying an airplane from being a passenger in your own life. When you become a pilot, you accept that weight, and you earn that authority. Both at the same time. That's the trade. Everything I walk through today comes straight from the Federal Aviation Regulations themselves, Part 91, and the risk management thinking the FAA lays out in the Airman Certification Standards. Go read 91.3 for yourself. It'll take you 30 seconds, and it might be the most valuable 30 seconds you spend this week. If you want more of these, they're at RadioHangar.com. I'm Pattern, you're the pilot in command. Start acting like it in the best possible way. See you next time.